Right, good afternoon. The Senate Committee on Human Services will come to order. It is Wednesday, May 24th. This is our second to last meeting with bills in it, which is pretty exciting. We are not meeting Monday because nobody will be here. If you are here, there's something wrong with you. All right, we are going to open up a public, and we have two of our members usually, so for the honorary pages that are in the room. Normally we have five members of the committee, but two of our members are unfortunately ill today, so hopefully they will be back soon. And we're at the point in the session where a couple of things are different than if you'd come earlier. One is the hearing's probably going to be really short because we don't have a lot on the agenda. We are going to hear a bill and move the bill today, meaning we're going to vote on it today. Usually there's a gap between those two things. So that's what's different today. And the other announcement that I want to make is we are going to carry over House Bill 3262 to our next hearing. So carrying over the work session on House Bill 3262. And now I'm going to open up a public hearing on HCR 33A.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, HCR 33A encourages state officers, agencies, and employees to learn about the impact of trauma and to implement evidence-based trauma-informed care practices and interventions. There is no fiscal impact on the resolution and no revenue impact on the resolution.
Okay, thank you, Chair Gelser, members of the committee. I'm Kathleen Taylor, State Senator, District 21. I just wanted to express my support for HCR 33, and I also serve on the Natural Resources Subcommittee, and we're hearing about Cleaner Air Oregon, and there are a lot of people there, so I'm going to talk real quickly and then be very rude and leave my colleague here to finish testifying. So I just wanted to explain why I'm going to stand up when I'm done. I just wanted to share my support on the record for HCR 33 and the hard work of Representative Huffman. Colleagues, the purpose of this bill is to bring attention to and promote the time to learn about the impacts of trauma and to implement the use of trauma-informed care in our state agencies. We know a great many Oregonians experience trauma for a variety of reasons, from domestic violence to sexual assault to family disruptions due to addiction or incarceration. And so it makes sense that we take it upon ourselves to learn about how to best interact with and support these individuals. I just wanted to also just really emphasize how important this is. Trauma-informed care, I think we heard a lot about it during the last session, and I think it's great that we're moving in that direction. So I just wanted to express my support.
Thank you.
Chair Gessler, committee. I'm John Huffman, state representative for House District 50.
I have waited
years to be able to do that. I sat at that very dais with you for so long, listening to your name be
mutilated.
thanks for having this House concurrent resolution. It's exciting for me. And I have a statement from Peter Buckley that I'm going to read. But when Peter was leaving the legislature, I said, "So what are you going to be doing?" And he just lit up and he started talking about trauma-informed care and ACEs, adverse childhood experiences. And he could tell that I was listening, but I wasn't quite tracking. And he said, "Hey, have you heard of this stuff?" And I said, "I'm really not following, you know," and he was so excited about it and his position with the ESD in Southern Oregon. And so he wanted to be here to testify today, as did Senator Steiner Hayward. For some reason, she decided to fly back east for a daughter's college graduation instead of being here. I thought I had more charm than that, but I guess not. So anyway, Peter Buckley says, "When people are introduced to the science contained in neurobiology, epigenetics, the adverse childhood experiences study, and resilience, there is a perspective shift that is nothing short of remarkable. The trauma-informed practices that come from the perspective shift across the sectors. In Southern Oregon, we're working with groups as diverse as Southern Oregon Pediatrics to Jackson County Juvenile Justice, from our Early Learning Hub to Goodwill Industries, from our local chamber to Southern Oregon University. The coordinated care organizations in our region fully understand that trauma-informed practices are the most effective way possible to get as far upstream as we can and to get to the root causes of the social determinants of health and to help children and families thrive. We're working to make Southern Oregon a trauma-informed region. I'm part of an ACES team training team that has done over 100 presentations to over 5,000 people in the Rogue Valley over the past year. Every school district in Jackson and Josephine counties have been introduced to trauma-informed practices and are bringing these practices into their classroom. This is a powerful and exciting movement to be a part of, and I am hopeful that Oregon will become the leader in this effort. It's all about us, all about our kids, all about our families. It's all about our communities, Peter Buckley. And I really got into this after the visit with Peter working with Mid-Columbia Medical Center last year, and I was their governmental affairs director, among other things. I had a lot of hats, but I was liaison with our CCO. And through the CCO and working with Molly Rogers and others at the state level, we've got similar things going on in North Central Oregon that Peter has going on in Southern Oregon. And it's really exciting to see it happen. So HCR 33 basically encourages the state officials and agencies to adopt the practices of trauma-informed care with the understanding of ACEs and resiliency. And I think if we can work toward that at state level, when all of our agencies are dealing so much with people that are involved in programs, and you know, instead of asking what's wrong, we really get to the root cause of what got them in that situation, and maybe we can offer wraparound services to help lift them out and really change their lives and society for the good. So that's why we're here today on HCR 33. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up, we have Molly Rogers and Anna Ristick.
Close enough.
Sorry. Welcome.
Thank you. Go ahead. So my name is Anna Ristic, and I am the Training and Education Coordinator at Trauma Informed Oregon. It's located at the School of Social Work at Portland State University. And the following statement is on behalf of Trauma Informed Oregon, including the director, Mandy Davis, who was not able to be here today. So, Chair Gelser, not Gessler.
I answered anything.
And committee members, I really appreciate you letting me say a few words in support of HCR 33. Adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs, as John mentioned, such as houselessness, neglect, household substance abuse, and incarcerated household members, are linked to academic performance, high-risk behaviors, depression and suicidal thoughts, and chronic disease later in life. ACEs in Oregon are common, with 62% respondents having experienced at least one ACE, and 16% reporting four or more. In addition to the impact of adverse childhood experiences, we also recognize the impact of targeted violence, oppression, and historical and collective trauma. Trauma-Informed Oregon, a project primarily funded by the Oregon Health Authority, provide support to organizations across Oregon who are striving to provide trauma-informed services and practices that promote resiliency and work toward reducing ACEs and the impact of toxic stress both on children and families, as well as the workforce, the organization, and its communities. When we talk about trauma-informed care, what we mean is using the knowledge about neurobiology, epigenetics, ACEs, and resilience, as John mentioned, to provide more effective service. This might include training bus drivers and food service staff in de-escalation, to assessing the physical safety of our buildings, reviewing the type of questions we ask, so that we're providing safe and engaging environments. Workforce wellness is a critical component of trauma-informed care. We're striving to promote a healthy workforce that is able to effectively work with the complex issues faced by many families and communities across Oregon. We need to retain quality staff to build relationships and partnerships if our wellness campaigns are to be successful. Trauma-Informed Oregon has been to 20 counties and trained over 5,000 people over the years. From these travels, I want you to know that there's great work happening, as John mentioned, to respond to and prevent adverse childhood experiences in housing, early childhood education, schools, community mental health, healthcare, judicial, and others. We need to continue to support community efforts and partnerships to move this important work forward, and HCR 33 provides exactly that support. The importance of this work is being recognized across the country in both state and federal legislation, with similar resolutions in Utah, California, Alaska, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Thank you for considering HCR 33, and thank you for letting me share our support.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair.
Good afternoon, Chair Gelsler.
That works.
Gelsler. And committee members.
Look what you've done, Representative. It's, you know what the trick is? It's Gelsler rhymes with Alka-Seltzer.
There you go.
Okay. Now you'll be Chair Alka-Seltzer.
Molly Rogers, what happens to rhyme with Jolly Rogers?
Perfect.
Director of the Wasco County Department of Youth Services in the Dalles, Oregon. Thank you for allowing me to testify today and bringing forward HCR 33. I appreciate Representative Huffman's leadership and his passion in recognizing the importance of trauma-informed services and the impacts that adverse childhood experiences have on the outcomes of many of the populations that we serve in the social system. We've heard statistics. You've heard statistics of at least 65% of the children that are involved in the child welfare system have five or more adverse childhood experiences. Additional research tells us and guides us to know that if we're not intervening to build resiliency, that the outcomes for these children later in life include at-risk behaviors and poor health outcomes. So we know that we need to do something different, and we've been very excited in the Gorge about 5 years ago that we chose to do something different. A short story on how this came about is our key leaders were sitting around after coming to the end of a grant, and we were all kind of complaining, saying, oh, here's another grant. It was Safe Schools, Healthy Students. We bought some cameras. Life is good. That's all that's left. We had a new mental health director that was observing us, and her comment to us at that time was, it sounds like you guys are experiencing trauma. And it was the first time that we had really taken an opportunity to look at what organizational trauma, and the fact that organizations have a brain similar to adolescents and adults, and we were just acting from our amygdala, which was fight, flight, or freeze. And that moment in time that she took us to say, something's happening to you. What's happened to you? It was the time that it took us to then embark on learning how trauma-informed services help our organizations better work together. The other thing that happened during that time is our superintendent made the comment that as we looked around the table, we opened the paper to see which one of us was on the front page, and we were just glad it wasn't us. Typically, we were glad it was somebody else at the time. That's changed when we started to take back and look at our brain development as organizations and how we can work together, and how we chose at that time the sanctuary model to embrace and started with a common language, how we've noticed our organizations have moved forward. That's what's so exciting about HCR 33 is that it supports our organizations in learning about trauma-informed services and how evidence supports implementing trauma-informed services for our children, youth, families, and each other. Since we've embraced it and have a common language for our community, there's the shaming and blaming has been dismissed. And we've been expanding and working now diligently to expand to education, which our schools have been trained in trauma-informed services, as well as joined a larger collaborative across the state to participate with trauma-informed services. State agencies, though, are one of the key components and partners that sit at the table, and this really encourages them to continue to do what they've been doing with us. Department of Human Services, the Oregon Youth Authority, Oregon Health Authority through our CCOs. So it's a pleasure to see legislation like this come forward to be supportive of something that's already been kind of moving in our Gorge area, and I appreciate your time today.
Thank you both so much. Are there any questions?
Nope, you've both done a great job.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
All right, so I'm going to close the public hearing on HCR 33A and open a work session on HCR 33A.
Madam Chair, I move HCR 3, I'm sorry, 33A to the floor with a B adopted recommendation.
Senator Dimbro moves House
HCR.
HCR 33 to the floor. HCR 33A to the floor with a dubious adopted recommendation.
With a dubious recommendation? I recommend this fully.
Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Would you like to carry that?
I'd be happy to.
All right. Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you all very much. All right. And with that, I'm going to close the work session on HCR 33A. Again, we're carrying over House Bill 3262, and we are opening a work session on House Bill 2315.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2315 permits lender financing affordable housing to receive tenant housing vouchers when claiming the Oregon Affordable Housing Tax Credit. It applies to tax years beginning on or after January 1st, 2018, and it takes effect the 91st day following signing die. There's no fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
Great. Thank you so much.
Chair Gelser, I move House Bill 2315 to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Representative Dimbro moves House Bill 2315 to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Question.
Yes.
You said the timeline. It will take place 91 days after the end, but then you said something about it being implemented January 1. What did you say?
It says applies to tax years beginning on or after January 1st, 2018.
Okay.
But the bill takes effect the 91st day following.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. And Senator Olson and Senator Knope are excused for both. And there's an error on HCR 33A. Senator Taylor should be the carrier since she came in to do that. Because Senator Dimbro is just full of trouble. All right. Anything
else? My trauma. My trauma filled background.
Is there anything else for the good of the order today? Anybody want to stick around just to sit here? Didn't think so. All right. So we are adjourned. Didn't think so. All right. So we are adjourned.